Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, welcome back to The Ruck. This is Owen Slott, and I'm here with Will Fraser, formerly of Saracens, still with Saracens, telling us a story about rugby and life afterwards.
How did you communicate it all to the club and, you know, the guys, you, as you say, you'd spent days with?
So Mark called a meeting.
Mark McCall, the director of rugby.
So Mark and obviously my physio and Phil Morrow, they kind of... They were with me the whole process because they needed to. So they were unbelievably good with the whole situation. So they called a team meeting before, I think it was a captain's run, before they went out to Bermuda in their pre-season.
God, so you didn't get the Bermuda trip?
No.
Could you not postpone it for a week?
They asked, Mark, to be fair to him, said that he would love me to go, but I thought I don't want to be lingering and hanging on. Yeah. And actually it was a great opportunity for me to use that week to get into the real world and get into the nuts and bolts of what I'm doing now. But he called a meeting and I didn't realise. He told me it's a good day to do it, so I was like, cool, no dramas. And then I was with Scott Brits in the morning and he said, you know what this meeting's about later on? I said, What meeting? And he goes, well, we all got that email from Smalley saying that everyone has to be at this meeting, even the injured boys. And then obviously I knew. I was like, oh mate, no, I've no idea. And then I think it dawned on everyone very quickly as soon as the meeting started, sort of what was about to happen. And then got up and managed to get out what I wanted to get out in amongst a few sniffles and tears.
Jeez, that's a big day.
It was tough. And then to a man, every single person within the squad, training ground staff, everyone stayed behind and gave me a nice hug and had a nice few words to say. But then the harsh reality of it was 10 minutes later, they're all out on the pitch training. I was up in the players' lounge watching. Don't get me wrong, because I've been on the other side of it plenty of times with Neil Decock, Kelly Brown, Ernst Bell, when these guys all retired and said their bit. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's like, even to us boys, it's a hard thing to take when a good mate has to call it a day. But then you're there to do your job, so you're straight back on training.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't ever appreciate the other side of it, and you're sort of there watching, and it's in your face instantly that it's like, oh god, this is it now. That's me done. But we're good. But it's all, it sounds, as you say, we don't want it to be a dour and sort of.
No.
But
have you got any tissues on you?
Yeah. I suppose that's the reality of it. But I'm extremely happy. I'm in a really good place. And as I say, I've been extremely lucky to have an amazing career with some amazing people. I'm very thankful for
it. There's been a lot of focus or more understanding the last couple of years, I think, Will, on what happens when a player does retire.
Yeah.
Any sport, it's hard. Rugby, I don't know if it's harder than others, but the rugby bond is tight and what you go through with each other. And as you said, you talked about the class of 08 who you saw every day or most days for the best part of a decade or whatever.
Yeah.
So when suddenly you weren't going in, even if it was for rehab or to take the piss out of each other, when that's suddenly gone, I mean, you say you seem to have found stuff to do.
Yeah.
I'll ask what you're doing in a minute. But,
yes, yeah.
But You can understand how some people haven't
100%. I fully appreciate that it's an extremely difficult time for any professional sportsman in any sport to retire, and because it's not just your career isn't just what people see when you're playing in the first team in the Premiership or whatever. It's from when you're a kid. So it's for me when I first started playing at 8 years old. Everything from that point was geared towards being a professional rugby player, whether it's football or cricket. I'm sure it's exactly the same. So up until that point of retirement, you've invested everything you have, every bit of you, into doing what you're doing. So for that then to be taken away, or just you reach that point and it's time to sort of call it a day. It is tough, and I've been super lucky that I've been very well looked after by the club, and you know, I've got a job within the club now that's kept me much busier than any time I was ever playing rugby.
Yeah.
But it's great, and it's a tough time. And I think, again, I can only talk from personal experience. I've been very lucky with the people I've had around me, my family, my girlfriend, the boys.
Do you need picking up sometimes? I mean, there must be some mornings when you wake up and just
I'll be honest with you. I actually, since there's at the start, yes, but as I've got into my current role, I've not really had a morning where, and I go into the club at least once a week and do like an afternoon. I work from the training ground and I see the boys, and it's sort of almost as if you never left type thing, which is great, and that obviously helps.
But they must laugh at your suit you're wearing, or
no,
whatever.
No, I wear a polo. Okay. Although I've got a satchel now. It was either a briefcase or a satchel, and I went with the satchel, which has been getting me
brave. That is.
Yeah. Well, as you can imagine, I've got enough stick for it. So, but I've just got to brave it out now and
stick with it.
Yeah.
So your role at the club is?
Role at the club is, so the progress is, it's called the Saracens Way. So it's a program where we look at how the club have gone from a chronically underachieving mid to lower table team to now being double European, three-time Premiership champions, and actually how everything that's created that success is extremely transferable into other organisations, whether it be business, schools, other sports club, because at the core of it is the people. It's the culture, the values, and the rugby, you know, is part of that, but you can lift that and use it in any sort of different scenario organisation. So I've been handed almost the entire business to run. So top to bottom.
But that's interesting. So that's the thing that Saracens, that we hear about Saracens, and people from the outside go, Christ, can you just shut up? We've heard enough about it.
But I'm now doing it more.
That everyone says makes this club special. Yeah. The club, and now your role is, you're saying, this is transferable. We'd like to tell
100%
school teachers, companies, whatever.
Anyone that's willing to and the best thing about it is that it's a very adaptable program. So it can be for any organisation, any level within the organisation. Yeah. Because essentially, what it's about is, you know, our four core values: honesty, discipline, work rate, humility. How they manifest themselves on a daily basis, and then the culture. And the culture is about people. It's about the relationships we have with each other, how we treat each other, how we talk to each other, all that kind of stuff. And when you go into a lot of these courts, so Neil de Kock was running it last year, and he's gone back to South Africa now, and he's given me an unbelievable foundation to sort of build on. And he's been brilliant. Even back in SA, he's you know, asked me how it's going, and he's helping me out with people. But essentially, when you go into these people, these sort of a lot of these big corporates, and you say something which to me is almost common sense, because it's all I've known. It's how I spent my adult life of living, and it's like a light bulb moment. And you're sort of thinking, wow, if that's having that big of an impact, this is massive. So it's hopefully gonna, you know, it's been very beneficial for everyone that's done it. We had a session with a commando group came up from Devon, which was very interesting, because obviously there's a lot of correlation and a lot of crossovers. And we got a few booked in coming up. So, yeah, if anyone's interested, willfraser@saracens.net.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. Is that one of our official adverts? So you've landed on your feet.
Massively,
And for now, this is something that this... It's not work experience. This is what
this is
your job,
this is
and you
want
to pursue this.
Yes, this is something I believe in very passionately, because, as I said, it's what I've spent the best part of 10 years sort of living by in the Saracens Way, and not just at the club. It's a life thing. So I believe very passionately in how it works and how it operates and the benefits there are to gain from it. I'm still doing some coaching as well, so I coach at Amersham and Chiltern. So I played there as a mini, and my best mate plays there. So I'm down there running their defence. We're second in the league at the moment. So I think we've got a big game against Chingford coming up soon, and they're top. So that's going to be a battle. But anyway, really enjoying that. That's brilliant.
So would you be with them on a Saturday afternoon rather than Saracens most of the time?
At the moment, it's Saracens.
Right. When your season pass runs out, then you...
That's it. There's a great bunch of lads, and that's really good fun. So doing that alongside the Saracens Way is... so I'm in a...
Good.
As you say, I've landed on my feet.
I mentioned Billy Vanapola's injury at the weekend, and as I say, you're a bit of a story for the modern times of the game.
Yeah,
there's a lot of debate at the moment about
the attritional game and injury rates, etc. Do you have an opinion on what rugby should or could do, or do we just have to accept that as the game's got better or more professional, whatever, this is what a player has to accept is the deal?
The way I always looked at it, which is, I signed a contract to be a professional rugby player. By signing that contract, I accept that it's a physical sport, and the chances of you getting hurt are quite high.
Mm-hmm.
That's just part and parcel of it. It's part of the job. Obviously, nowadays, with it being so professional, with the medics, the S&C guys, high performance guys, if you're doing everything you can be doing to make sure you don't get injured, all the rehab, prehab, you know, the stuff in the gym, and you still pick up an injury, then you just have to. It's just part of it. It's just unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my point of view, there was nothing more I could have done to try and avoid injury or to get back from an injury at all. So the way I made peace with it was, it's just part of rugby, which it is. It's a tough sport, and I don't think there's much more lads can be doing, to be honest with you. I think it's just part and parcel.
Do you think there's more that could be done for them? I mean, there's talk about, you know, number of games, the length of the season.
Yeah.
Height of the tackle, for instance, all these things that maybe in the modern world the game has to adapt a bit.
Yeah, it does, and you know, each season there's a new sort of rule or law regulation brought in to try and make it a bit safer. In terms of the number of games, it's hard for me to comment because I've never been in that situation of playing summer tours, and so I've seen what's been written about it and who said what, and again, it's without actually experiencing it. It's quite hard for me to comment on that.
How many games did you play last season?
4.
Right, okay. So that's, you haven't reached capacity.
I'm the opposite side.
You want more.
I want more. I'd play it all. But I think in terms of the rules and stuff, obviously you want it to be as safe as possible, of course. That's a given. But you don't want to lose that physicality and that side of it, because actually that's why a lot of people play the sport.
Yeah.
Is because you like putting a good shot on someone or carrying the ball and sort of getting beaten up a little bit. So you don't want to lose that, which we're not, but at the same time I completely accept that it's got to be as safe as possible. So it's potentially in the next few years, maybe there's a bit of a fine line to tread with how far do you go either way. But for me, I want to watch a game and I want to watch someone put in a massive hit.
Yeah, you don't want a sanitised version of the game.
No, I don't want it to turn... Well, no, I won't say that because I can get in trouble. But I want there to still be that.
Can you say what you were going to say, please?
I don't want it to be soft.
do you get the impression with your Saracens teammates, we still call them that?
Yeah, of course.
Is it something that people are talking about a lot? Is it just from the outside?
I think it's more from
players get on with stuff, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's more from the outside. To be honest with you, because unless there's a ridiculous decision been made and you know, I the last couple of years, again, actually I'm not playing so it doesn't matter, I've always felt for Ashley a lot the last couple of years with the bans he received, because I mean in my mind they're absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah,
but that's there now.
Chris Ashton.
I'm still in nickname mode.
No, we're all very familiar around here.
So I always felt and you don't want things like that to keep happening, and you know,
so that's
for me,
that's over sanitising the game
massively. Massively, and that's where that's this fine line, I think, between making it safe but then not losing that element of it. But no, the players just get on with it. We're told if there's anything new, law, regulation come in, with a referee will come in pre-season and do a whole presentation on what's happening, why it's happening, how it's going to be reffed. And then you can have a debate with it, and obviously with every law in rugby, I suppose some people say the beauty of it is that everything's up for interpretation. So we'll debate what happens in this scenario, what happens in this scenario, and then once that's all cleared up and done, then you've just got to get on with it.
So some people could say you're a victim of the game, but you actually say I was lucky to have played it.
100%, without a shadow of a doubt. I would never, ever in a million years. To be honest, it's never even entered my mind until you just said it. How can you be a victim of something that you love? It's not possible. I've loved every single minute of my career without a shadow. Even the times, as cliche as it is, it's sort of, you know, Hollywood American movie type stuff. But without going through what I've been through, much like Henry, I wouldn't have I suppose I wouldn't have the outlook I have on rugby and on life, and I wouldn't behave the way I behave if I hadn't have had all those sort of setbacks. So no, as I have zero regrets. I'm definitely not a victim. I've the opposite. I've been extremely privileged and extremely fortunate.
Good, good. Can we just talk a bit about the team that you're no longer playing for?
Yeah.
I mean, you've finished playing, but you've also finished playing for the most successful team in England. Yeah. Well, they have been for the last 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking at that team, and you say you're the class of 08.
Mm.
And that class,
not self-proclaimed, that was
you're too modest, but anyway, that the class of 08, the Owen Farrell, Jamie George generation, they're dominating the game at the moment, but they're only really just coming into their very best years.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Saracens, and from the outside we're wondering, well, when does it end?
Yeah.
What breaks the cycle? I mean, can you see what's going to stop this team getting better this year? They've recruited so well.
I suppose it's just that the on that point, you look at those boys, obviously. I think last year a stat came out where we've produced the most academy players in the whole league. And, you know, we had this reputation of being, what was it, at one point, I think we were nicknamed London South Africa or something. So we've had that reputation. But actually, when you look at it now, behind the scenes, I think we've 30 lads in the squad have come through the academy system.
Really?
It's something ridiculous. It came out maybe a few months ago in the summer that
and
I saw
the squad would be, your squad would be just over 50?
Yeah, in total, yeah, if you include the young boys. So
30
and
out of 50, yes.
Yeah, it's quite
home
remarkable.
Grown.
And then if you look at young kids coming through, we've got a great group of young boys coming through the academy now, sort of making that. If you look at Nathan Earle, who's played a lot this year, Hayden Stringer, number 8 now, Lee said, who's coming through. We've got Ben Earle in the academy as a back rower. Lots of lads involved in the England 20s. So from that point of view, you know, it's well, I don't know when it'll end. Hopefully it'll keep going for a long time yet. But I suppose the threat is losing the humility, I suppose, is the biggest threat to it. If we start thinking we start believing our own press and thinking we've sort of cracked it, that's the point where then it all starts to crumble.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't, again, another cliche, it's not that you stand still, you actually start going backwards, because you don't then, you lose the day-to-day little things that actually lead to the big results on the weekend and the championship. So, for me, that's the biggest threat to it.
What would be the best way, a better way to rock the foundations of Saracens if you took Mark McCall away, which is a good discussion, because some international teams can offer him a job soon, or if you took Owen Farrell away, because those they're two quite strong drivers.
What's that movie? Is that Charlotte's Choice? Is it? What's the Sophie's Choice? Is it? You know, you've got to choose between. To be honest, I couldn't answer it because they're both integral parts. If you took one away, it's going to have a huge impact. What would have more of an impact is hard to say, because Mark has been such a driver of the club and the culture and the values. He was there from day one, and is arguably one of the best DORs, well, certainly in the country, if not in Europe and further. But and then Owen is he's arguably the best player in the world. He's when he's playing well, actually, even when he just makes the team tick, and he's brings a level that just inspires everyone else to be up there with him, and he drives.
Is there a point with Owen where the rest of you guys who know him so well can actually just tell him to pipe down or just lay off a bit?
Well,
I'm talking about his relentless drive and the perfectionist side of him on the training ground.
To be honest, I can only
it's well known that he, you know, if something's not going well, then he'll let you know. And
but that's why we're so good, because he does that.
Yeah. But do you ever say, listen, Owen, just that's enough?
No, because what he says is generally spot on.
Right.
I can only talk from what I think. And actually, you know, if he said something to me in training, then, you know, my ears will prick up and I'll do everything he says. I'm like, yeah, no, sweet. Because he knows the game that well. He's almost like a coach on the pitch. So, and as I said, he drives standards. So actually, I wouldn't change anything like that. If anything, in many ways, I'd say maybe we could do with it more. Because actually that's what picks everyone up. And if you understand that, not just Owen, if anyone in any, this is where I get into businessy now, if anyone in any organisation is being told to, they can do this better or they can work at that harder, if you understand that they're not saying it as a personal dig to you, it's purely to make you better, which in turn makes the team better, which in turn improves the performance. And if you can understand that kind of process and that chain, then actually there should never be a problem. Because by anyone saying that to you, all it shows that they feel that they can be honest with you. That's all it is. And if you understand that that's all they're doing is being honest.
This is another advertisement for the Saracens way, isn't
it? Yeah, 100%. This is it. But this is why a big part of why the club is successful is because you can have these two-way conversations. Equally, if someone says something to me that I disagreed with, I can be completely honest back and say, look, I don't think that's right for X, Y, and Z. And as long as you can have an adult conversation about it and not bicker and squabble, then the outcome of that conversation is only going to be positive.
Who do you miss from that change room in particular? Who made you laugh, or and also likewise, who you delighted not to be spending so much time with?
So I sat in between Jamie and George Cruz, and I won't miss sitting there because George Cruz was messy.
In the change room,
boots would be all over my spot. His clothes would be all over my side of the bench. So from that point of view, I won't miss that. People can be listening to this thinking he must be lying, but there's no one that I'm glad I'm not seeing. To be honest, I'm a bit gutted that I'm not seeing everyone. I've got my closest mates, people that I've been groomsmen for and all that kind of stuff. So obviously the class 08 boys, Jackson, Owen, George, Jamie, Andy Edwards, who's a strength conditioning guy. We were his first, so he retired quite young. And when we were 14, 15, we were his first group to sort of look after as from a strength and conditioning point of view.
Right.
And he's been there the whole time, so he's been with us the whole time as well. So they're the boys. Obviously, I miss everyone, but they're the boys in particular that I miss. And then your characters, like Skulk Brits with a beaming smile every single morning.
It's waking up to sunshine, isn't it, when you see him every day?
It is. It's nice. And then, guys at Mako's, quite a dry sense of humour. To be honest, I'd end up singling out everyone, which kind of defeats the object of singling out anyone. I miss them all.
How much longer do you think you'll be going into that change room after games?
Hopefully this season. Depends. So probably when the season pass goes, then I'll have to stop. But I don't know. It's something that I'd never force it. I'd never just go walk in because I'm obviously aware that I'm not a player anymore, and I'd hate to be seen as that guy that's lingering around. But as long as they invite me in, then I'll go in and have a beer with them.
Well, quite right too.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Will, thanks so much for coming in today. It's been an absolute joy to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Your story's brilliant and inspiring and worrying in equal amounts. But but it's great to hear that you're so it's great to hear you're so positive about it.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. Go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Good fun.
Excellent.
Yeah, see you. Cheers, Owen.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.